Anxiety in a person's heart weighs him down, but an encouraging word brings him joy. Hello everyone, I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, there is power in a well-timed word. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell just how a person is feeling simply by looking at them. This is why it is necessary for us to cultivate a culture of encouragement in our lifestyle. Proverbs 12:4 says, "Anxiety in a person's heart weighs him down, but an encouraging word brings him joy." In a moment, Ken brings us part one of The Power of Encouragement.
Hello, everyone. I trust you have had a refreshing weekend. But there's no reason why we should not be continually refreshed for the rest of the week, especially when we are listening to Times of Refreshing together. For the next few programs, I will be talking to you about the power of encouragement. There is always such a great need for encouragement, both for ourselves at times, but also for others. And often we do ourselves and others a disservice by underestimating the power of encouragement. You'll be surprised to learn that the scriptures have much to say about the power of encouragement. In different versions or translations of the Bible, different related words may be used, such as comfort, exhort, or encourage, but they all have the same primary root meaning, as they are translated from the New Testament Greek words parakaleo or paraklesis. And the literal meaning of those words is to call near or to call alongside to help. Therefore, the main idea here is someone who is right beside you, ready to help you. The idea is more of a personal coach rather than an instructor in front of a large class. Or to use a similar example with studies, the idea is more of a personal tutor right beside you rather than a teacher teaching in front of a big class. So the ministry of encouragement, which the Bible talks about, is the ministry of coming alongside another, or the ministry of being there with another person. This strongly reminds me of the days when we had to train for long distance runs during our national service. I wasn't a strong runner, so my trainee days were a little bit of a struggle. But I clearly remember that the ones who were most helpful to me were not the ones who are running in front of me, because it's actually quite discouraging to see someone ahead of you and you're trying to catch up. But neither was it the ones behind me who were trying to encourage you by pushing you along, because it makes you feel that you are driven or compelled rather than running on your own. But the ones whom I found most helpful, most encouraging, were those who ran alongside me. They kept pace with me. They were not in front of me, neither were they behind me, but they were just abreast of me. It was not intimidating at all, but rather it was encouraging. By running at the same pace alongside you, the pacers made you feel that you were running the race on your own. They inspired you to try to do your best and to improve on your performance without feeling overwhelmed. So that's what the ministry of encouragement is. It's the ministry of coming alongside and the ministry of being there for you. We are going to consider, first of all, what it means to be encouraged. That is, to be encouraged ourselves. And that's a logical place to begin. Because how can we encourage others if we ourselves are not encouraged? So we need, first of all, to know how to be encouraged. And then next, we're going to look at what it means to be encouraging to others. Let me bring you to an incident in the Old Testament, which provides a powerful portrayal of what it means to encourage yourself. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and the occasion was the return of David with his men from following the Philistine armies back to Ziklag, which is the town that they had settled in among the Philistines. Let me read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning from verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. So this was the sad and sorry situation they found themselves in. And the question to ask is how to be encouraged when everyone and everything around us is dark and dismal and despondent. Where can encouragement be found when they have cried till there were no more tears to cry? And yet for David, as their leader, this was not the toughest thing. The most difficult thing any leader would face is when your own people begin to turn against you. And this is what we read in verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. This surely was one of David's darkest days, when his own loyal band of followers spoke of stoning him, because they were just consumed and drowned in their grief over the capture of their own families. And any leader's job is always doubly difficult. He has to inspire and to lead them out of the bottomless pit of despair. But in order to do that, he must first lift up his own spirits. How can we lift another up unless we ourselves are strong and stay on top? Everybody in that camp needed to be encouraged. But if there was anyone who needed encouragement more than all the rest, it was David. What would you do if you're in a situation like this? Well, let's look at what David did. We read in the second half of verse 6 this significant statement of his response or his action. But David strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So that's what he did. He strengthened and he encouraged himself when there was no one else around who could do that. On the other hand, all the voices surrounding him were baying for his blood, complaining, murmuring, and utterly discouraging. But how did he encourage himself when in such dire straits, under such devastating circumstances? Humanly speaking, that is just not possible, because all our emotional energies have already been drained dry. But note, here is the great key in those last few words of the sentence. But David strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He found strength and encouragement in the Lord his God, not in himself, because he was utterly devoid of and destitute of strength at that point in time. He did not find it in others. There was no one around him who could help him. In fact, they were all bent on bringing him down. Although we are not told exactly how he encouraged himself or strengthened himself in the Lord, but from what we read of the many psalms written by David, we know that it was instinctive for him to draw near to God, to shut himself up to God in prayer and worship and communion at a time like this. He didn't dig up a self-improvement book to try to find some answers to his situation, but instead he turned to the Word of God. He didn't try to listen to some great motivational speaker, but instead he listened to what God had to say to him. So this is where it must always begin. We can and we must encourage and strengthen ourselves in the Lord through prayer, through worship, and through reading His Word. You will note that there is a consistent link between encouragement and strength. When we are encouraged, we feel stronger. And the way to be strengthened is through encouragement. We are now going to consider some ways to encourage yourself from the New Testament books of the Acts, Romans, and 2 Thessalonians. And for the rest of this talk today, we are mainly going to be in the book of Acts. The first way to be encouraged is by or through someone. And we are going to look in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. which tells us about the key role that Barnabas played in encouraging Saul, who was later called Paul, in his early ministry. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Here we see how Barnabas took Paul into his trust when everyone else was suspicious and afraid of him. They stayed away from him in Jerusalem after his conversion, no doubt because of his notorious past in persecuting the church of God. Barnabas was not only an example of encouragement, he truly lived up to his name, because that is what his name really means. He first appears on the scriptural scene in Acts chapter 4 towards the end, in verse 36. And Joseph, who was also surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. What a strong commendation of a man whose character was marked by liberality and generosity, as well as encouragement. The apostles must have taken note early how this brother has always been an energetic, faithful and consistent encourager amongst the believers, and therefore named him Barnabas, or son of encouragement. And it took a man like Barnabas to spot and to support someone like Paul, who had tremendous potential when everyone else was blind and still slow to believe, because they are still constrained and limited by the old Saul that they knew, who persecuted the church. He might not have grown as outstanding and influential as Paul in the end, but it certainly takes an encourager like Barnabas to seek him out, to develop him, and to give him a chance to prove himself. If not for Barnabas' affirming support and help, Paul might have taken much longer to have started out in his ministry. He stood with Paul not only at his initial visit to Jerusalem, but he later sought Paul out from his hometown in Tarsus when he went to Antioch. We read about this in Acts chapter 11, verse 21. Speaking of the new and young church in Antioch in Syria, it says in verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch." Here was a promising work and a new door that God had opened in Antioch, which was a strategic location. We read in the previous verse 19 that they were preaching the word to no one but the Jews only up to that time. But then in verse 20 it says, "Some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists preaching the Lord Jesus." So here at Antioch were the seeds of a truly Gentile church beginning, away from Jerusalem and the concentration of Jews. And when the church in Jerusalem decided to send a faithful man among them to see the work that the Lord is doing for themselves and to build upon it, is it any surprise that they chose Barnabas, the son of encouragement? Who else would be more fitting than a man like Barnabas to strengthen and encourage a fledgling church in a Gentile country? Someone who did not sound or feel officious or intimidating from Jerusalem, but willing to come alongside them to help establish them in the faith and to grow in it. Reading on in verse 23 of Acts chapter 11, "When Barnabas came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And here is our word, he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." So that's basically what he did, and all that he did to encourage them all to continue with the Lord. If you want to send someone to do the ministry of encouragement, you need an encourager. And that was what Barnabas was. Verse 24, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." So we see here that a good encourager needs to be a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Only someone who is full of the Holy Spirit and of faith can effectively minister spiritual life and faith to others. But that is not all. Significantly, we read in verse 25, "Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Barnabas was a man of vision. He could see and smell potential whenever he came across one, either in a person or in a situation, and so it was with Antioch. But he didn't allow the capacity to fulfill that potential to be limited to himself. Instead, he was quick to recognize the potential in others, like Paul, who was a great teacher, and married that to the great potential presented by the strategic situation at Antioch. And once again, we find how instrumental Barnabas was in providing a platform for the growth of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Back to our basic question, how to be encouraged? Well, look outside of yourself in order to get encouraged. It is never found by looking inwardly. I believe it was Corrie Ten Boom who said, "Look around or outside you and be distressed. Look inside you and be depressed. But look to Jesus and be at rest." There may just be someone waiting out there as the Lord's instrument to encourage and to strengthen you if you will just be open. Don't get too introspective. Talk to someone. We get encouraged by someone who speaks and stands up for us, who thinks well of us, who affirms us and brings out the best, not the worst in us. So in order to be encouraged, allow others to encourage you. And if you have benefited from a Barnabas, you can in turn be a Barnabas to others. So that's the first way to be encouraged, by someone. In the same chapter 9 of Acts, we find a second way to be encouraged, and that is by the Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." This was how the early church in Acts was strengthened and encouraged. They had peace and they were edified or built up. They grew qualitatively. That is what walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit implies. And as a result of that, they also grew quantitatively. As it says at the end of verse 31, they were multiplied. But our word for encouragement comes here. It's in the comfort or the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's significant that the Holy Spirit is also called comforter or counselor or helper in different translations in John's Gospel, chapters 14, 15, and 16. And the Greek word for that name of the Holy Spirit is parakletos, which literally means one called alongside. And if you remember, this is very similar to the literal meaning of the word translated, encourage, to call near or to call alongside to help. This tells us that a primary role of the Holy Spirit is to encourage and to strengthen us so that we can grow. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit strengthens and encourages us through quickening the Word of God, making it alive, relevant, and current to our situation. The Holy Spirit lifts the words from the pages of the Bible and speaks that word to us in our present situation and condition. And with that comes a deep peace and assurance, as it says in the very next verse, 27 of John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is the kind of peace that comes from the personal presence and the residence of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. The power of the Holy Spirit to lift, to quicken and to encourage surprises us. It dispels all fears and removes every frown from our foreheads. If we have to look within us, this is the only right sense in which we should look within, to confide and to commune with God through the Holy Spirit in us. Here is a comforter, a counselor who is always with us. The Holy Spirit is a helper who is always available and alongside us. It's really a shame that we so often forfeit the encouragement and the strength that is so readily available to us because we are not conscious of His presence. Have we learned how to be strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit of God? And I trust you have been encouraged and refreshed by the Lord's presence and continue to be reached by His wonderful word.
As Ken says, it is difficult to be an encouragement to others if we ourselves need to be strengthened. So our prayer for you is that in addition to the other ways to be encouraged, that you would first be encouraged in the Lord. Thank you for that good word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow for part two of The Power of Encouragement. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question for Ken. You can send him a text message, the number 9431-3813. Or you can write to him at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And now Times of Refreshing is on Facebook. And you can get the latest updates. You can socialize with the other fans of Times of Refreshing. And you can take the time to give us your views right on our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, to listen to the program online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.